Basically, I understand this different, but I felt as well when I came to Shoto, New York, that the type of narrative that I have behind my clothes was something really important. And this was what made that not trendy, but what made them unique. And this is what my brand is about and what I'm pushing and what I'm thanking this period, because I think that things start to come back, because as Jason was saying, like, people want to buy something that can last longer. But at the same time, as a designer, I need to tell something through my garment. I need that something that is inside myself can be translated in that way. And then the garment can tell that things to other people, or other people can perceive something different, but still they perceive something because that garment is speaking.
Definitely.
Then if the garment speak to me, can speak to other people, and the people, when they wear my garment, they feel that they can say something, they have a statement, and that garment empower them as a woman or as aesthetic. And I think this is a very strong point that just brand that has no too much restriction about the market can develop. That's why, like several seasons ago, I decided to make my own different format. And in September, I've been showing a swimming pool with the national Italian team doing a spectacle, because I know that a lot of people being there, yes, I think they were approaching several aspects of the artistic way of thinking. They enjoy a real spectacle that, of course, I'm not Dior that I can bring people around the world, but I really want to give my aesthetic, because this is what, as an individual brand, I can give to fashion system. So I decided to do in the swimming pool, and I did it in the cinema the last time. So with always different interaction with public, because I think our public want to be part of the system, which most of the time the fashion week is something that is closed to public. They cannot come. You just invite certain people. And I think if we want to sell as well to other people that can approach our garment, that want to live with a dream of a garment, I think we need to be inclusive. And inclusive means, yes, sustainability in one side, because we need to care about the aspect of our planet and how the people produce our things, in order to get people embracing our expectation and embracing our theory. And at the same time,
Definitely.
we need to involve them. As well, I'm teaching in the university, so I'm teaching to new generations since a long time. One of my main aim is to show them that things can change, that if they have great ideas, fashion will follow, and a certain public can follow.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that you know, it's definitely like a trend where, you know, people will follow kind of what you're doing, especially as designers. Do you guys feel like, you know, like, let's move to like Byron. Like, do you feel like you guys as designers and as leaders in the fashion industry, do you guys feel like you are kind of setting the stage for this kind of consumer? Are you setting the stage to have more sustainable shopping? Like, do you guys feel like you guys are the ones that are quote unquote responsible for creating that consumer? And if so, like, how have you guys gone about that? Or how are you looking to do that?
And can I double to the question to Byron? Byron, I know you produce in China, but you don't produce massive amounts of clothing. So even though your brand is not super sustainable, at least that's from knowing that.
Right.
Because you didn't produce and make so much, do you always consider yourself a sustainable designer? Did you always think that?
You know, I would never be as liberal with the description of my brand as being sustainable. But like Jason, it's always been my goal to make things that a person would want to invest in and keep. Of course, whether or not I'm successful all the time is questionable, but that is always the aim. And I mean, as evidence, I'm sure Jason and every designer here, I'm sure you see things on the street sometimes or something on social media. It's just like that's from many years before. And a person did actually keep it and they still do use it. It's still relevant in their lives, which is evidence that, like, at least in some regard, you know, we've had some success in that. But in terms of every element that's involved, it's too enormous a task for me to, like, make the entire collection sustainable, but it's on everybody's mind. We have to be good stewards of the earth. Obviously, wherever there's opportunity for that, I am all in. But back to even the investment of clothing and that being a key part of sustainability, there's a consumer too that has not experienced investing in what's in their closet as a concept because of social media. I want something new to post every day. And in order to facilitate that, you know, Diana Ross changeability, I can only spend X amount on this garment so that I'm changing. And until that value kind of changes, like how people want to come off like movie stars and, you know, who borrow most of everything they wear, I don't know how accepting of that concept they'll be. I know that once a person experiences good clothes on their body and what that feels like, you can't unknow that.
Yeah, and that'll probably hopefully push consumers to be a little bit more conscious of their shopping. And
can you just say something according to what he said and what you asked? Yeah, I think one thing that as a designer we are supposed to do in this moment is really enriching the cultural side of the new generation, because I think it's not just something about couture, prêt-à-porter or mass production. I think it's just something cultural. Exactly as Byron would say, like now there is like so much social media, so much people that want to change immediately because they want to look like someone else. But we need to bring higher the level of cultural people that approach to fashion. We need to help through fashion to get more cultured. Yeah. And then at that step, they can choose what they want to buy. They can choose why they want to buy the things and not just relying on copying other one or just, I want to change t-shirt to make another post. So I think through culture, we should break somehow this mind of the new generation that is born with social media and think that coming to a fashion show is just dressing up, which fashion show normally we work 6 months, 4 months,
yeah, 100%,
to create like an experience for people, because it's just like 3 months for 10 minutes. Like money everything goes there. And Jason can say, because I think in New York, I experienced the bigger show ever and more people working behind the show. So probably you can tell that
that would
really work in a
reality. Yeah, fashion is, like you were saying, it's like a way of expression, you know? So many things affect fashion. And I mean, fashion is part of every single person's lives. Like, regardless of whether they're interested in fashion or not, everybody wears clothes. It's part of everybody's lives. So, you know, there's this whole sense of being able to influence through fashion and activism through fashion. And, you know, we have a very diverse panel here. Francesca's from Italy. We have two Black designers. Jason is an Asian American. For all of you guys, how have... with Black Lives Matter, how has, you know, kind of the response been? Like, how have you, we've seen so many people in the fashion industry respond to it, you know, and make statements about it. Do you see fashion having this part in activism? Do you see fashion being such a big part in being an activist?
It's actually funny because one project that's really gotten me through this period is I've been working with Gay Men's Health Crisis, GMHC, for over 5 years. I've been on the board and, You know, GMHC is the first HIV/AIDS organization started by Larry Kramer, who recently passed, but was really a leader in the 80s when HIV/AIDS was known as a gay disease. And I started talking to my fellow board members about, you know, how for an Asian immigrant who's, I've lived in the U.S., in New York alone for 20 years, right, where I felt like, for the first month, I felt very targeted on the street, you know, because I'm also like, was the only one wearing a mask, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I grew up with a mask culture. Marissa, you'll know that. That's
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And one thing what a lot of people don't understand is that wearing a mask isn't about protecting yourself. It's actually protecting others. And it's a common form of courtesy.
Yep.
When you're feeling a little under the weather and everything. And it is like literally you are actually being considerate of everybody around you, right? So we started this project in late March and it just launched about a month ago. It's called Distance Yourself from Hate. And where we, as GMHC, we actually opened up our, you know, we do the AIDS walk every year. This year is obviously canceled, but as one marginalized community to a whole new world today where many other communities are marginalized and being targeted. We worked on this project because this was before the Black Lives Matter, but when that happened, it made it more clear that we needed to do this project called Distance Yourself from Hate, where it allowed us to actually, we're working with Harlem United and Lantern Community, which is a homeless shelter. So for the first time, GMHC is working with non-HIV patients to provide protective masks and food to them. And then we're going to be working with other organizations. And so to make the campaign and to raise funds, we actually made a mask with a logo. The reason why we made a mask is because no one needs another t-shirt. So yeah. I don't want to make a logo tee. I was very clear about that. I don't need a t-shirt with a logo on it, you know, like I don't. But you know what? I need a mask that's reusable. You know, I was using the hospital mask every day for the first few months. And like, they just go in and trash. And I was like, I need a 100% cotton mask that I can wear, that carries the message I believe in, that actually gives back to the community. 100% of the money gives back to the community. And, you know, GMHC, like 80% of our employees and clients are people of color, you know? And so that was a project that really, and it's continuing going. We've had a lot of amazing support. We sold out twice already. And
Incredible.
And that project has really kind of lifted me throughout this process. You know, we have another amazing round of videos coming out with people from all walks of life, people that work at GMHC to celebrities to, you know, we work with all of voguing communities. So it's very diverse. Trans, you know, you name it, we every culture, you know, it's about us uniting culturally. Mm-hmm. And that's how actually fashion can make a difference, that, you know, we can make, actually have it. This mask is a fashion item, but it's also a useful item. And it's also going out for a good cause. And that actually has brought a lot of life and light into my life.
Totally. And, you know, I think that so many companies are looking towards doing something good with their, what they're doing and what they're designing and, you know, making that statement with their clothing. So, you know, Byron and Monique, both of you are Black designers. How have you guys found like Black Lives Matter movement to be somewhat, you know, I use the word inspiring lightly, but, you know, have you guys found inspiration through that? Have you guys found that like you want to take part in pushing that movement forward with your designs, and how has that affected you guys?
First of all, I just want to address the fact that, like, you know, 2 years ago, you'd be vilified to use that term, Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. because, of course, the implication is that you don't consider that all lives matter, but of course, all lives matter.
Yeah, like that's
when
not the
Black
point
lives that are being treated as if they don't matter, you mm-hmm. have to call special attention to that. So many cases, there's been so many George Floyds that have just gone unnoticed, unrecognized, and unacknowledged. And this is just what we have very disappointingly and infuriatingly have just come to expect mm-hmm. and accept. And it was just so great that COVID allowed this moment for everybody to have been still enough mm-hmm. to actually take in that image, that horrifying video to actually be moved to action. And I mean, the fact that spilled over into every aspect of, you know, just racial relations is only healthy. Now, mm-hmm. how do we fix 400 years of systemic racism?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it is a priority and on everybody's mind, it can only lead to some solution toward, you know, an egalitarian reality.
No, definitely.
How long that will take and how devoted everyone will remain remains to be seen, because clearly now Black is sexy. Everybody's jumped on the bandwagon and I don't believe so much of it. It's just like, okay, well, this is a fashion thing for you, not a societal thing and not a humanitarian issue. That really does concern me. How much of that, at least I perceive to be happening in the midst of all of this.
Yeah.
But I know that there are still some very genuinely concerned people who are very committed to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I even had to call out, I mean, I've had like discussions with other Black friends that, you know, and family, discussions that we never would have had if this all hadn't come about, just about even our own processing. Because, you know, I come from California where I just didn't grow up in what I perceived to be a racist community. I always mm-hmm. went to school with all kinds of people. I always had all kinds of friends. And so I was confronted with the reality of how this country works quite late, you know, very disheartened by a lot of it. And I didn't feel that I could even candidly speak about it without having been targeted myself as a bellyacher, a complainer. It's just like, anybody in this country can do anything if you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and, you know, and just keep it moving. And quite frankly, that's just such an inherent part of Black culture. Like even our parents, my grandparents always explained to me as a little child, even in California, because they come from another reality or a perceived reality, that I would have to always work twice as hard or half as much.
Mm.
And sometimes even more than twice as hard for half as much, but to always value what I would learn in the process of working that hard, because nobody could ever take that away from me. And there would always be some inherent value there that would sustain me.
And, you know, Ty, 100%. And, you know, speaking of the Black Lives Matter movement, and, you know, Ty, obviously you are part of the Black community and you are the CEO of FFC, and, you know, you have such a leadership role. What do you believe are, like, the first steps in moving forward, like, related to the fashion industry or not? What do you think are the first steps in moving forward in this movement and moving forward towards being accepting of having a diverse country?
Yeah, some of the things that I saw in the community, just the disparity of health, you know? So when we started the Fashion Fights Cancer Program, you know, I was truly grateful and blessed that Byron and Monique were two of the first the designers to teach the class. But the disparity in health, you saw some of the patients that I've known over the last 14 years, some of the patients that are Black, maybe they live in Far Rockaway, far parts of Queens, they didn't have the same access to healthcare that some other ethnicities had. So it was really, really hard. The Black Lives Matter movement, I think, is the start. It's a great slogan, but it calls to a bigger. And that conversation, when you watch the George Floyd video, the question always gets flipped back to Black people. You know, what do you think? How do you feel? Right? Which is okay, right? But the bigger question is, why do you think you could sit on someone's neck for 8 minutes? You know, whether it was a white person, patient, person. If I saw another 14-year-old kid sitting on their neck, I would say, like, you can't do that, you know? So I think the bigger question is asking those policemen, what were you thinking? Like, why would you think you could sit on this man's neck for 8 minutes and 40 seconds while he's handcuffed? And that conversation comes in, what is the mental health of the police the department? They have high suicide rates, domestic abuse, and divorce. So we need to also look at what they're going through, you know, the day-to-day stuff that they see. Why do you think these people are criminals, and do you think other people are not doing criminal activity? So I think it's a bigger conversation of what is the mental health of the police department. We should address that. Like, what are you guys seeing? Why do you guys feel like you can do this? You can shoot an unarmed Black person? Like, that's the question that we definitely need to talk about. Like, what is their mental health? Yeah. Why are they doing these things? I feel like they can get away with these things.
Definitely. And I think, you know, FFC is about mental health, right? And providing mental health and the ability to access mental health for everybody, you know? FFC, the original mission was to help cancer patients and survivors. However, that's kind of morphed during quarantine and during all of this, because we're starting to realize that everyone needs help, you know? So it's incredible to see how that has morphed a little bit and changed. So I guess pointing the question to Monique now too, like, how do you think mental health needs to move forward? How can that affect the fashion industry? Has it affected you during quarantine, being home with two kids, being stuck at home with them all the time, having them at home? How has that affected you, and how do you see, you know, the fashion industry maybe, like, taking a part in that movement forward into mental health?
It's a complicated question to unpack, and I think that we all need to be constant students, and to challenge ourselves to learn more, to read more, to step outside of our comfort zone with regards to who we're hiring, who our friends are, our community, to constantly be trying to broaden our circles and to embrace diversity and different cultures. And I think that we have a ways to go. It's been challenging. These are challenging times, but I also think that they're hopeful times. I think that people are listening more than ever. And I think that we are at the start of a new civil rights movement, which is really exciting. I personally have found the world of social media to be very challenging to embrace. I'm not the biggest fan, but I do have a voice. And I think for those of us who do have a voice, where people, you know, we all have voices, but I think for those of us who have, some have larger voices than others. And I think for those of us who do have larger followings, we need to elevate the conversation, to diversify the conversation, and to put more thought into what we're putting out there and how we can make a difference with our design and with the artistic and thoughtful integrity that can make a difference and push things forward. With regards to the fashion community, I think that there have been so many empty promises, and I hope that you know that the promises that have been made will actually come to fruition. And I hope that we can hold a lot of these corporations accountable in terms of saying, yes, Black Lives Matter, absolutely they do, but actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. So what are these corporations going to do about it? What are those opportunities that are now going to be given to people of color that are deserved? So I hope that this is going to be a much needed time of change. And I'm excited for what's to come. But I found it really challenging, as Byron has spoken about or spoke about and Ty spoke about, in terms of just kind of dealing with Black Lives Matter, thinking through all of these ideas, speaking with family, having conversations that you perhaps might not have had previously, being expected to always give more and have the outcome be less. I was raised that way, that books were my best friends, that I needed to work harder. It gives you, you learn perseverance, I think, at an early age. It's also been challenging to be reached out to by editors who had never acknowledged my work before, but now seem to want to because I'm Black, or to have editors who had recognized my work for years and then are writing lists of Black designers, and I'm not Black. Am I not Black enough? I don't know.
No, I think that's a very interesting part of the fashion industry, where there's been such a direction of going towards supporting Black designers, right, and supporting Black corporations and companies, and that's kind of been a huge kind of trend that I've seen a lot on social media, especially where people are just pushing Black designers. And I feel you guys have designed for Michelle Obama, right? So Monique, she's worn your designs. Jason Liu, she's also worn your designs, and Byron Lars, you designed her dress in the first family official portrait, I believe. So you guys have all kind of been impactful in pushing forward, like, such an incredible leader. I personally am a huge Michelle Obama fan, so it's incredible. Is that something that you guys hope to continue to see, is, like, pushing forward not just Black designers, but also pushing forward Black leaders and showcasing, like, your fashion with Black leaders? And do you think that fashion speaks in that sense towards making that expression and, the Black community supporting the Black community? Is that something?
Well, I mean, I think I just, one thing I've been hearing a lot about is, like, everyone's like, we need to cast more Black models or doing this, Black photographers and all of that stuff, And I my response to that has always been like, I was like, you can't just pay lip service for the season. You can't do that. I was like, this is not how it works. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's super trendy right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not supposed to be trendy. This is supposed to call out an action. So if this season, it's like all of a sudden everyone's jumping on the bandwagon, which is very much this Instagram culture, right? It's like, today, you see a lot of people on Instagram, people basically using the Black Lives Matter